following speech is made by the President at Great Falls, Montana, May 12,
1950. Good morning, sir. It's a very great pleasure that I've had the opportunity to ride across the great state of Montana with your governor and with Congressman Mansfield. The congressman is one who really knows what it's all about, and he works at it. And I like him very much. I appreciate this welcome very much in this lovely city of Montana. Seems to me that this great city knows how to do things. I've had a most successful and satisfactory trip across the country during the past week, and now I'm on my way back to Washington. On this trip, I have been giving a first-hand report to the people of the great Northwest and the Middle West about the problems this country is now facing and what we are doing about them and what we need to do in the future. Here in Great Falls, you are fortunate in having a fine newspaper, the Great Falls Tribune. I wish there were more Great Falls Tribunes around the country so the people could get the truth. The past few days, I've been describing great work we've been doing in conservation, irrigation, reclamation, electric power, and flood control. We've been building some magnificent structures like the Grand Coulee Dam, the Hungry Horse Dam, and Canyon Ferry Dam here in Montana. But these are only the beginning of the coordinated development of all our natural resources. We need to speed up the development of our resources if we are to keep our economy prosperous and expanding. Down in Duke this morning, I explained what kind of labor management laws we need on the books. And I explained why it is necessary to extend our social security system and to expand and increase our system of old age insurance and unemployment compensation. We have done some fine work in the housing field since the war, but we are still far short of our goal of having a decent home for every family in the country. Here in Great Falls, a city that has grown rapidly in the last few years, you can certainly appreciate how badly we need a long-range, low-income, and middle-income housing program. In Lincoln, Nebraska the other day, and at a number of other towns since then, I have explained the kind of farm legislation we need to put on the books. Our present price support laws have kept farmers' incomes from dropping as badly as they did after the First World War, but they are not good enough. In the last 2 years, farm income has dropped substantially. One of the main improvements we need to make, make in our present law is to provide for a system of production payments. This would help us make sure that the incomes of farmers will stay at prosperity level, and we would get greater amounts of the kinds of things we need, and we would avoid huge surpluses. You know, to read some newspapers, you'd think that no one supported the system of production payments to the farmers that I just described. But the fact is, more and more people all over the country are realizing that production payments are exactly what we need. For example, after my Lincoln speech the other day, I got a telegram from the master of the Ohio State Grange, and he told me that he was very much in favor of the system. And I have a telegram right here if anybody has any doubts about it. Also, at the Minnesota State Fair, last fall, they held what you might call a poll. But this was an actual poll. The people were there, and they voted themselves. And it came out nearly 2-1 for production payments, but you didn't see anything about it in any of the papers that are against it. The American people support the programs I've been discussing when they learn the true facts about them. When the people understand these measures, they realize that they are vitally important to the future growth of this great country. It is just as important to see that people in other countries learn the facts about the United States and what we are doing for world peace. We face a great problem these days, the menace of communist aggression. The communists want to take over all the world, and they're trying to win converts to their side by telling preposterous lies about the United States. On one side of the mouth, they say we're weak, that we're going to collapse. On the other side, they say we're strong, and we're getting ready to wage an imperialistic war. recognize the danger, because there are millions of people in the world who don't have accurate sources of information, and they simply don't know the truth about the United States. And there are a lot of people right in the United States that don't know the truth about their own country. I'm trying to teach them. That's why I've been urging a great campaign of truth. I would like to see our newspapers, our magazines, our radios, and our motion picture companies joining in and spreading the truth to Europe, Asia, and Africa about what we are really like in this country. I think that when people know the truth about the United States, they will turn to our side, not the side of communism. Those communists have an organization which does not believe in morals or ethics or truth. They work with lies, and they try to mislead people. And when they get control, they're just a plain police state. You can't go anywhere, do anything, or talk to anybody without permission from those up above. That's not the kind of a country we fought for and worked for since 1776. I think we've got the greatest government in the history of the world. And I'm trying to support that government with everything I have. I've sworn to support and defend the Constitution of the United States, and that's what I'm doing as President of the United States. I'm out here telling you the facts as I see them. That's my job. Every year I make a report to Congress called a message on the State of the Union. I've made a trip around the country this time giving a message on the State of the Union to the people themselves so they understand what I'm trying to do. I believe they do understand it. Thank you again for this wonderful reception. I appreciate it more than I can tell you.